There's so much I want to say and want to get into, and so much I want to tell you. I want to cast vision. I want to tell you all the cool things God's doing. I want to tell you all the aggravating ways Satan's annoying us. I want to do with all that, but we need the scripture. Nod your head if you're with me here. You don't need me to sit around the fire and tell you stories. You need me to give you the word of God, right? So let me resist that impulse, strong impulse, and instead stay with the stuff here. Ephesians 3, one more time, if you're willing and able, stand with us. We pay honor to God and his word. Ephesians 3:14. We will, Lord willing, finish chapter 3 today. Despite what my son said, we may be done with this before Christmas. And Ephesians 3, if you're willing and able. Verse 14, for this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of who the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ. If you highlight and underline your Bible, this is a fantastic verse, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able, to do exceeding abundantly above. And there's the teenage word. There are three modifiers that do not belong consecutively, but this is the best he could do. It is beyond description, above all that you can imagine, ask or think, according to the power that works in, and here again, if you like to underline and highlight in your Bible, in us, in you, in me, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end, amen. And I feel like there needs to be the kettle drum, boom, 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 right there, and the trumpet fanfare. Anybody hear that when you read that or you hear that? You're like, this is great. This is an anthem. This is an oratio. This is something. And that's what he's doing. He ends with adoration, this fantastic prayer of his. And we're going to learn from today. We're going to talk about power through prayer. Power through prayer. How many of you like to learn to pray better? Anybody besides me? You can do that. Let's pray together right now. Father, we love you and we thank you for loving us. Thank you for dying on the cross for our sins. Thank you for the gift of prayer that we can commune and talk with you. What you are teaching us through the book of Ephesians. What you are exciting us to do in our lives. Thank you for that. Thank you. In desperation or exaltation, when things are going well or things are going terribly, you are our Father. And you care. And so I pray that you would teach us again, remind us again, help us again to learn what it is to pray for others, and pray in a way that honors you. And help us not be defeated, but instead encouraged. Lord, if there's one here today who's never confessed their sins, never figured out that they need a Savior, never figured out they needed to be saved from anything, would you convict them today? Would you convince them today and draw them to yourself that they, Lord Jesus, would know what it is for you to be their Savior and for you, Father, for you to be their Father? So God, help us. Help me, I pray. May I, Holy Spirit, use me and fill me, I ask. I pray all this in your Son's wonderful name. And amen. I mean, you can be seated. If we can switch me over to the preaching setting, if I'm not, just hit it again. See if we can clear that out. So there we go. Everybody sitting up front's going, that's an echo. So that clear it? That cleared all of y'all? I lost the echo. Y'all good now? All right, very good. So we've got different settings and all because of my voice and because of how loud I get. And so we can reset that. How many of you glad we can just push a button and make me sound better? Yeah, anyway. We hadn't spent the money on the auto-tune, but maybe we will. So anyway, get rid of that echo and all there. Yeah, very good, very good. I want to just do a little poll here. How many of you would like to be different or change something about yourself? How many of you got at least one or two things? Anybody? How many of you are pointing at somebody right now? You'd change something about them and all. I need a few things. There's no wrong answers. I wish I wasn't. Say it. You point at it. Kathy's going to need a ride home. Anybody live out toward Oak Ridge Highway? You wish you were taller? Taller, right? Taller? Nobody That's not the first one I would think of. Not for you. You're just a good-looking fella. And, yeah, what you got? You wish you drove for NASCAR? Let me introduce you to Donna Lisa. And you can ride with her and get the real thrill. And, all right. That's why. Let's forget the sermon. I'm just going to match people up here, yeah. You got a desire, I'll hook you up, all right? So who else? I'd change this or wish this. Anybody over here? Anybody in the middle? We change things around. It's not the middle. It's the first, fourth, or second, fifth, whatever. Anybody over here? You wouldn't change anything? You are content people. God bless all of you. Anybody here? Change something. Wade, you got to percolate there. What would you do different? Well, I wish I was what? No more sickness. Man, that'd be super, wouldn't it, right? I wish I wouldn't get sick. Wish nobody else would get sick. I mean, that's a pretty good one there. Pretty good one. All right. Yeah. Anybody else over here? Kathy's still pointing at John. Anybody over here? I wish I was taller. I wish I was younger. Because Mark Twain said it right. Youth is wasted on the young, right? Youth is wasted on the young. Yeah. Nobody said mine. I was like, man, I'd be thinner. You know. And I think that. Or be one of those people that eats whatever they want. And doesn't gain any weight? Yeah, put your hand down and make you ride home with Kathy. Anybody over here? Anything else over here? If I switch it to spiritual things, I wish spiritually, how many of you, if you get real honest, you'd say, you know, how many of you, prayer would be right up there? Wish I prayed better. Wish I prayed more. I wish I felt like I connected. I wish I didn't feel guilty when somebody mentioned prayer. When I was in Bible college, I got where I sat on the front row in Bible college, and people thought I was really spiritual. I think I've told you. It wasn't because I was spiritual, because I just stayed so convicted. And it was just easier just to walk forward from the front row. I was just lazy. And if a guy got up there and he talked about evangelism, or if he talked about, excuse me, or if he talked about praying, he didn't need to finish the sermon. I was already guilty. You know, I didn't witness like I was supposed to, and I sure didn't pray like I was supposed to. He can save a lot of time. He can just announce his subject. I go forward. I was done. Anybody, you feel like that? Maybe it's parenting. Maybe it's relationships. excuse me. Maybe it's your thought life, whatever. But you announce the subject, and you go, I'm terrible at that. I'm just terrible. Am I the only one? Am I the only bad believer in the room? All right. There's like five of you that are honest. The rest of you, come on down. And so when we hit this passage here, and we hear Paul praying this way, we're going, well, that's nice for him. It ain't going to happen for me. Pray. Man, I'm doing pretty good to remember to pray at mealtime. Lord, thank you for this food. Or depending on what's going on, Lord, protect me from this food. You know, we're there. Or now I lay me down to sleep kind of thing. You know, we feel like we don't know. We feel like we don't do well. And we feel like we don't do enough. And so when we come here, man, help me. You feel that way? Help me. I want to do better. I want to pray more. I want to pray for more people. I want to pray that the Lord honors it. I want to. Anybody got a want to this morning? Because if you got a want to, I can help you. And maybe if you don't have a want to, maybe by the end, you'll go, you know, I want to. You got an opportunity to take a note or two here, and I think it'll help you. How should I pray for myself and pray for others? I put in your notes there in the app and in the thing. Every failure in the Christian life, someone said, is a prayer failure. Every failure in the Christian life was a prayer failure. It may not feel that way, but I can promise you, you can back that up. It's not original with me. If that's the case, then I need to know what's going on. So if you've got your Bibles open there, go to verse 1 of chapter 3 just a second. Let's see where we're at. You with me? If you're with me, say amen. Amen. All right. Chapter 3, verse 1. Let me take a little hot liquid for my throat. Verse 1, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. And then he takes off and gives us a tremendous teaching on the church. And for 12, 13 verses, he just unpacks and unwinds this. But it's a pregnant pause that he's going to pick back up in verse 14. If you're taking notes, he really has two prayers by this point in the first three chapters of Ephesians. He prays magnificently for what they are to know, and then he prays for what they are to do. Let me help you. The more you know, the easier it is to pray. And the more you come in contact with the one who is worthy of worship, the more you want to worship him in prayer. And those things always precede the other. When your cup is empty, it is hard to pour it out to God in prayer. When you've not been in the Word, you have a loss of motivation to pray. And calamity and chaos will help us to pray, but they do not sustain us in prayer. And so he sets the table for us correctly. Chapter 1, this is what's going on. Chapter 3, he picks it back up and helps us. I've given you a couple of notes that are there. One from Harold Honer. He says in Ephesians 1, we see the basic truths of the Christian life. And we understand, that God, that Paul wanted us to know three things. One, the past, that we would know the hope of our calling. Secondly, in the future, that we would know all the wealth that God has for us in our inheritance, what we usually call heaven. And finally, that we would know the greatness of God's power toward us. For God's power toward us. We see that in chapter 1. Now in chapter 3. Chapter 3, we understand that we should do something. We have been given an enablement to do. MacArthur says this passage, the first prayer is for believers to know their power. The second is for them to use it. If you look at prayer, again, we'll see this in chapter 6 as a spiritual weapon, the weapon of the Word and then the weapon of all prayer. Then we have at our disposal something to combat the evil of the world and the problems in our life and the unbelief in the lives of others. And we have God's enablement through this idea, this weapon of prayer. He says, and I like it, and I included it for you. Two things a preacher should be most concerned about are telling his people who they are in Jesus and then urging them to live like it. Who you are in Jesus and urging them to live like it. By the way, how many of you need to be reminded of who you are in Jesus? Culture tries to tell you, or you look in the mirror and you go, man, I'm a failure. I messed up this week. I said something I shouldn't have said. I did something I shouldn't have done. I didn't read my Bible. Anybody here got a list of failures floating around and self-defeat and self-doubt? Let me remind you, you are called according to his purpose. You are beloved. You've been saved by grace through faith, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. And you read those first three chapters and your heart swells at who you are in Jesus. And the natural result is to start worshiping him in prayer. And then live like it. Live like it. How many of you think we'd be a little better off if everybody lived like who they say they are? If we acted out our faith. And so here we go. Here we go. So I've given you four words there. And if you take those first letters, you will see A-C-T-S. A-C-T-S. Acts. Acts. If I'm going to talk about prayer, I want to give you at least a little handle here. If you want to pray, you can find books. I have a 7-volume set on prayer. I read, right before I got sick, about a 450-word lifetime magnum opus on prayer. About halfway through, I was so discouraged about how terribly I prayed. By the end, I was completely discouraged about how terribly I prayed. I read the 7-volume. I've got a whole section on prayer. And so I'm not giving you that. I'm going to give you four words. I'm going to give you four letters. A-C-T-S. How many of you maybe can't do 7 volumes or 450 pages, but 4 letters would be okay? Anybody besides me need 4 letters? All right, the rest of you want the other books. You just see me after church. We'll go through them. Man, spiritual people here. Adore. Adoration. Confession. That's agreeing with the Word about the sin, particularly in my life. Thanksgiving, these are the blessings of God. Supplication, just for the alliteration, or excuse me, for the anagram here. Supplication means list, people to pray for, things to pray for. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. I want you to see these four words in these verses. I want you to get a handle. Say, I can't pray. Maybe you can't do whatever you think it is, but maybe you can do adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Maybe you can say, God, this is who you are, and I want to worship you for that. Maybe you can go, God, I said some things I shouldn't have said today. I did some things I shouldn't have done. I didn't do some things I should have done. Confession. By the way, anybody in here need to confess your sins to God? Maybe more often than you do? Nod your head at me. Thanksgiving. An attitude of gratitude. God, you are good. You have done this. I am thankful for this. Anybody in here struggle with grumbling and griping and complaining? Say, I don't struggle with it. I'm great at it. Anybody need to be better? Being thankful? And then praying for others. Praying for others. Anybody find yourself selfish, praying for me and mine and not others? Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. A-C-T-S, acts. Let's see if we can see that in the passage here. He's going to give us four petitions. We're going to use them as an illustration to help us along the way. Number one, he prays for them to have spiritual power, that God would work in them and through them. Go to verse 16 if you're still with me. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, in the real you, in the real you. He starts off praying for spiritual power, but he gives us a little background here. Verse 14, for this cause I bow my knee. I don't know that he's specifically telling us that the only way to pray is on bended knee. Ever since I've gotten a certain age and ever since I've been sick, if something drops on the floor, I basically go, the worms can have it because I'm not bending down to get it. Because when I get on all fours, I can't hardly get up. And so I just give it to God and figure if it's meant to be, it's meant to be. Maybe it'll come back to me. I'm kidding. I'm a little better at that now. The Bible records 9 different postures for prayer. I won't give them all to you. One of those is bending. The Jews typically did not bend the knee to pray. They stood. If you've ever seen any picture of the Wailing Wall, they're standing to pray. And he's not just talking about a posture. He's talking about an attitude. There's to be an attitude of humility and submission and reverence when we pray. Some of you, I know, you like to listen to music. You like to set your heart a little bit before you pray. Others of you maybe are like me. You read a verse or two before you pray. You want to calm your heart and your spirit. I don't think you pray with the music button. I don't think you play with the TV room. I think, man, there's to be a point. I am going to talk to the God of the universe. And I bow the knee to do that. I am an old Jewish man, he says, and I humble myself before God. I think one of the reasons we don't pray like we want to is because we're just too stinking proud. I can figure it out. I can get it done. I don't need God. See, when you stop and when you give obeisance to someone, you are saying you're more important than I am. He says, I bow my knee to pray. What's he doing? He's adoring the Lord. God, you are worthy. Look at the passage again. He says, I bow my knee to the Father. Excuse me. Skip on down. Verse 16. He mentions the Spirit. Verse 14 again. He says, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's including the Trinity in his worship here. I adore the Godhead. And I'm asking them on your behalf to come to it. He says, by the way, and he's the God of the dead and the living. Look at verse 13 and 14 again. He's the Father of those in heaven and in earth. He is the God of all of those. He exists. He created time. He exists in the past, present, and future. He's not lost any that are those that are his. And so when I pray to him, and again, it starts out. The more I know about God, the more I want to talk to God. The more I know about God, the more I can trust God. The more I know about him, the more I want to worship him. If we've got to have a full orchestra, smoke and lasers for you to worship, the problem's not the music. The problem is our heart. The problem is us needing to be ginned up all the time. There ought to be something bubbling up. I worship him, and I love good music, and I think it has an important part. I'm not denigrating. I'm just simply saying, if you got to be whipped in a frenzy, then you're worshiping the music and not worshiping the master. Worshiping the master ought to come out of a heart that's full toward him in adoration. Somebody say amen. We're there. So he starts off here. He says spiritual power that he would grant you. He's praying for the spiritual welfare of others. Anybody here, you get cheesed off at somebody because they're not doing what they're supposed to? Anybody here besides me ever done that? Why don't they do that? What's wrong with them? Anybody here, if they just listen to me, give me a minute with him, I'd fix him. Anybody? like you people over here are pretty calm. These people over here are ready to murder. And I'd go out this door if I was you. He prays for them. He prays for them that the power of God would work in their lives. Now let me help you. For some of you, that just sounds like, hey, let's go buy Cinderella's castle down at Disney World. For some of you, that's like, hey, I there's a BB&T building downtown, only be $7 million. You know, we can write one check, maybe. That's what you just heard. That's not reality. Reality is God is at work in your life if you're following him. God is at work in your life. He prays that it work in them and it will work through them. Spiritual power is the mark of every Christian who submits to God's word and to God's spirit. Say, I don't have the power of God. I don't see it in my life. I don't see his transforming power. I don't see the convicting power. I don't see the victorious power. You probably don't have the problem you think you have. You probably have a word problem, and you have a submission problem. You ever remember as a kid, maybe parents told you to do something, you went, uh-huh, and you walked off and didn't do it, and your parent, grandparent, step-parent, mom or dad, whoever it was, said, did you hear me? Did you hear what I said? And you went, uh-huh, and you kept on going. Anybody having a flashback right now? Anybody in here, parent, step-parent, grandparent, and you've done that scenario, you talked to somebody, and they kept saying they were listening, but they didn't do what you told them, and you thought, one of us is crazy. Either they got brain damage or I got brain damage. Anybody here had that happen yet? Anybody here remember having that happen? All right, most you people here living for Jesus, you just be excused here. It's not that I don't know the word, I don't obey the word. It's not that I don't hear the word. I like to say it like this. The last time you told God no, probably the point you stopped growing. Last time you told God no, when you stopped growing. He's praying for God's power to work in them. By the way, how many of you would like to be part of a gospel church where the people are experiencing God working in them and through them? Then pray that way. Pray that way. Pray for others that the power of God would do that. Pray for yourself that God's power would do this. The inner person grows stronger through the Spirit of God. He will energize, revitalize, and empower the obedient Christian. I want to see God at work in my life. Then obey him. Obey him. Say, I can't forgive that person. Obey God. Forgive that person. Say, I haven't done this. Again, I like the old thing, man. If you need to, man, you make sure you don't eat before you get in the Word of God. Make your priorities. Do what you need to do. But understand that, and he prays that the power of God would be in their lives. Number two, he prays they'd have an active faith. They'd have an active faith. Jesus would be at home. Different times in our life, my mother would say, shoes off, when you come in the house. Anybody grew up in a shoes off house? Anybody grew up and you were being completely rebellious and you kept your shoes on hoping you wouldn't get caught? All right, like three of you. All right, that's me. My mother, somewhere in her head, when we were older teenagers, got in her head that, and she watches these things, I got to be careful. A lady that I know, edit that out. My mother put in snow white carpet in the entryway while we were playing basketball and baseball and generally tearing up the front yard. I'm still convinced that she thought hard about electrifying part of it. Because we would come in, and wherever she was, if she heard the door open, it would bellow through, take off your shoes. My brother would snicker, and I would. And if you've ever tried to walk tiptoed across a whole bunch of carpet, all you do is you leave little black dots. Anyway, and so we would do that. That was fine. We kind of got used to it. Then the grandkids started happening. They'd come in. I almost saw my mother tackle my niece one time as she was coming in. She finally has given up, replaced the carpet, and all those kind of things. But she thought it was such a good idea. And I told her, I said, Mom, I said, I feel like an intruder in my home. Well, it's just take your shoes off. I went, Why did you put white carpet? It's pretty. It's not pretty. It's a nuisance. It's a nuisance. You mean you can't do anything in there? Can't do anything. Well, I like it. I like it. And I'm like, let's get some rugs and runners or something. Maybe if we cover it up. How many of you, that's how way you think. Let's just cover up the white carpet. Let's get enough rugs to do that. You've been in somebody's house and you're like, if I touch something, or you go in the restroom and you're like, this is surgically clean. There's no way I can leave this. Am I the only people who think this way? To be at home. He says that they dwell in you. Christ would be at home. If Christ's running around in your mind, is he at home? By the way, some of you figure that out, right? I make you laugh a whole lot, then I jab you. He reads your text messages, is he at home? He clicks back through your DVR, is he at home? You replay all the things you said and the words you used last week, is he at home? Does he feel at home? He says, I want you to have an active faith. How many of you think what we do here is really important, and then what we do out there the other 6.5 days is really important too, amen? How many of you think we need an active faith in the world? Somebody uses God's name in vain, we look at them and said, man, you can do whatever you want, man. I don't appreciate you taking my Savior's name in vain. I love him. You've offended me. Then don't do that. More, you've offended him. Don't do that. How many of you think, man, we take a stand for things that are right and all these things, that he would be dwell in your hearts, that he would be at home? Dr. Barnhouse, years ago, Donald Gray Barnhouse, he preached on the Bible Hour, that's not the name of it, but he was on radio programs for years and years. He said speaking of this, that we would, Christ would be at home, that we'd be rooted and grounded in love. He said, love is the key. Love is the key. He says, the key, the fruits of the Spirit. He said, love is the key. He said, joy is love singing. Peace is love resting. Long-suffering is love enduring. Kindness is the touch of love. Goodness is the character of love. Faithfulness is love's habit. Gentleness is love's self-forgiveness. And self-control is love holding back the reins. That you would, Christ would be at home, that you would be rooted, established, and grounded in love. By the way, and it goes out to the people, that you and the congregation, there are no lone rangers, solo Christians who are spiritually where they ought to be. Say, I'm introverted, I'm extrovert. I'm talking about the sense of your heart. The sense of your heart. Man, I couldn't get over the song. Couldn't get over the song because he's going, man, Jeff found out when we moved, I didn't have a guitar. And he gave me a guitar, gave me a car. The simple act of love, right? This is what we do for one another. Simple act of love. Tommy's mother is passed. We're going to get to rally around the family and do that, those acts of love. This is what we do as a church and a community. We pray for one another because we've been rooted and grounded in love. Number three, to know and experience that love. Know and experience. You're still with me in the Bible, verse 18. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. To know and experience the love of Christ. How many of you get really excited when we start talking about knowing the love of Christ? How many of you start feeling unworthy? Man, I don't deserve that. I don't deserve his goodness to me. He's saying, I'm praying that you would do this. Trying to do this. Love is given to us. Romans 5:5. God commended his love toward us. Romans 5:8. And it's commanded of us that we are to love one another. Our men's groups that met last week, John 13:35. And hereby shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. This is to characterize us. Churches that are and squabbling, biting and devouring. That's not what God wants. Somebody say amen to that, by the way. Man, we are to be going forward together, rooted and grounded in love, and then on a journey of discovery. How deep the Father's love for us. How great beyond all measure that he would give his only son, we his precious treasure. Know and experience the love of Christ. Not just the love for one another, that's verse 17, but to love each other. It says it passes knowledge. It's beyond human reasoning. little kids like to mess with adults going, why? 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 You're like me, you give me an explanation. You're like my wife, you go, because. I said so. She said it a couple of times so strongly, I straightened up. And I don't mind explaining, typically. I think the request is sincere. Makes for a longer bedtime when the kids were smaller, but that's okay. Why? Because he chose to. Why? Because it's his nature. Why do you love an awful, terrible, dirty, rotten, low-down, no-good sinner like you and I? Because that's who he is. He loved us one way. It's not reciprocity. The word's agape there. It's the highest kind of love. It's a God kind of love. We get to emulate it, but we'll never get there. We just, it's the model for us. But God loved us just simply because he chose to. We love because we're expecting love in return. We get offended when we love and it's not reciprocated to us. We even got a word for it. We call it the broken heart. I loved you. You didn't love me back. And now I'm incomplete. God is completely complete whether we love him back or not. We become complete when we return that love to him. And all of a sudden we find ourselves in this world of love and we are swimming in it. And then our mind starts to go, I can't even begin to describe it. We've got the four ideas there. Augustine said that it's a love wide enough to embrace the world. John 3:16, God so loved the world. It's a love wide enough. It's a love long enough to last forever. Spurgeon said, it's so long your old age can't wear it out, so long your tribulation can't exhaust it, your temptations won't drain it. Like eternity itself, it knows no bounds. It's high enough to take sinners to be with God. It's deep enough to take Christ to the very depths, to reach the lowest sinner. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, Tozer, and what we study we did a few years ago with some of the guys, because God is self-existent, his love had no beginning. Because he's eternal, his love can have no end. Because he's infinite, he has no limit. Because he's holy, he is of spotless purity. Because he is immense, it's incomprehensible. He is bottomless. It is like the shoreless sea. No one experienced the love of Christ. You can pray that for each other. You can pray that for yourself, right? I mean, you think that'd make Mondays better, and Tuesdays better, and Wednesdays better, and hospital visits better, and funeral home visits better, and end of the month with the bills better, and bad news from the doctors better, and going forward better. Number four, experience the greatness of God through devotion to him. Verse 19. You still with me? Verse 19. And to know the love of Christ with passive knowledge that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. To be yielded and submitted to God. Now here's where we get to pray. I think these are events. I think these are events. Some of you, there have been events in your life where you said, Lord, I'm yours. I submit myself to you. Maybe you've done it a few times. If you're like me, you've done it a lot of times. Because I'm really good at making good decisions and then they don't take real well. So I own that pretty easily. But I think this is a little bit more than an event, and I think those are important. But I think this is about some submission. God, I'm yours today. Just you've got me. Feel the idea of control. Lord, you control my mouth today. You control my eyes today. You control my hands today. You control my wallet today. You control my attitude today. God, I give them to you today. Because you love me. Because of who you are, I'm yours today. Some of you may need to do that at lunch. Some of you may need to do that at supper. I'm yours. If we're going to experience what God has said he wants to do, chapters 1, 2, and 3, if we're going to perform this, he's praying for this church and praying consequently for our church that we would understand the greatness of God. How many of you think, by the way, if you do those other things, then you all of a sudden, God begins to work in and through you. And he puts you with people. And he puts you in situations where there's opportunity to do what? And that's the next verse, is that you give glory to him. See, I really want to please God in my life. I really want to honor him. God, you do this. You do this in my life. You do this in my life. I've got four words for you here. You can write them down and take notes, or you can just listen. I think there's growth. I think there's devotion. I think there's submission and service. I think there's growth, devotion, submission, and service. I think you see that all the way through into chapter 3. I think you see it here. This is what he's praying for them. Chapter 1, the prayer there. Then we see devotion. Then we see submission. And submission turns into service. Say, prove it to me, preacher. Verse 20 and 21. Now unto him that is able. Here's those drums. Here's the trumpets. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. J.I. Packer said, it's outside the building block of your imagination. You have nothing to grasp at. You have no material. You have no template to wrap around this, to even attempt it. Above that we ask or think, according to the power that works in, and here's where I trip, because my mind says him, but it's us. God is at work in you. God works in you. Let me help you. And God works through you. That's why I'm praying so hard. That's why we feel incomplete. And by the way, that's why we need to pray. God is at work. And to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Let me help you. I didn't put the slide up here. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. By the way, he ends with adoration, doesn't he? And to him be glory. See, when I pray the right way, it circles right back around. You're worthy, not me. You do what you want, not me. I said it differently a few weeks ago on Vision Sunday. I said it, and hopefully I said it transparently. I was scared to dream because of my situation. I was scared to stretch the church out. I was scared to do something and have to back up and punt. I just, scared, wrong word, but it's the right idea. Somewhere late fall, just working through some things, trying to pray, trying to read the Bible, and I got where I'm scared not to pray. I'm scared not to dream. Because God is bigger than my situation, and God is bigger than my limp, and God is bigger than the calamity, and God's bigger than COVID-19. He's bigger than the chaos. He's bigger than all that. And if God wants to do something, then I'm just going to sit there and adore him and thank him and can't wait to see what he does working in us. And it'll start verse 14 on bended knee. Stand, kneel, prostrate, on your back, on your stomach. Ever how that looks, the attitude of the heart. You're worthy and I'm not. And I need you more than I can say. And I come to you not trying to get something out of you. I come to you rooted in your love that you want more for me than I could ever imagine. And more for us. And more for what? By the way, there's an evangelistic element there. That your hearts would be rooted in grounded love. That you would know the Lord. See, praying is evangelistic. I'm praying for them to know him. And them to be saved. And them to have their lives changed. So when we pray in a second, who are you going to pray for that needs to be rooted and grounded in love? It needs to know God. Know, experience his forgiveness. Life change. Who are you going to pray for that's in a tough situation? That needs to know they're not alone. And that God is with them. Who at work are you going to pray for? God, you demonstrate yourself. And if you choose to use me, that's great. Because I want to give you glory in how I live out my faith actively. And do that. Now all of a sudden, man, prayer is real practical. And prayer is real necessary. And prayer is so life-changing. What do you want to experience? I hope you want to experience power through prayer. Let's pray. Our heads are bowed just for a moment. I am convinced and convicted. I am convinced we must pray. And I am convicted we don't pray enough. There's a lot more. I just kind of surveyed the section. But I want to ask you, who you need to pray for this morning? Who is God putting on your heart to pray for? What situation you need to pray for? What lost person?